It costs anything from several hundred thousand pounds, dollars, to several hundred million dollars to make a new chip because you want to make your code smaller or faster. I actually made the code for a particular chip 7% smaller in 24 hours by judicial application of benchmarking. And that's why I'm going to tell you about today. My name's Jeremy Bennett. I'm Chief Executive of Embercosm. Welcome to benchmarking in the RISC-V Dev Room. I hope at the end of this you'll have a good insight into how much open source benchmarking technology there is around that you can take advantage of and how it can help you improve your software, your hardware designs. So, first of all, let's think about benchmarking. How do we benchmark? And for good open source benchmark, a number of criteria, these are just the main ones. Benchmark on real code, not synthetic made up, someone thought this looks like a typical program, programs that real people have run. And make it open source. This idea of closed source benchmarks, trust me, it benchmarks your program, but you're not allowed to see it. Doesn't float my boat. Make sure you can benchmark everything you need to. Certainly speed, code size. Embedded people will worry more about code size than code speed. And indeed, we've benchmarked things like energy consumption. It's quite important. How you write your code can affect how much energy it uses. Keep it simple. How good is this system, program according to your benchmark? Just give a number. Don't give a large paragraph of explanation. And lastly, the technology moves to keep up with the benchmarks. Okay, so change your benchmarks regularly. Update them regularly so that you don't have a compiler that understands your benchmarks and just magically does them really well. So I'm going to focus today on two benchmarks. One is spec CPU. Excellent benchmarks. It's marginal coming in here because spec itself you have to pay for. It's not open source. But all the underlying benchmarks are open source. So we'll live with what we get from that. And I'm mostly going to talk about the underlying benchmarks, not the spec CPU infrastructure. And Mbench IoT, which is, Mbench is actually a family of benchmarks, but it's best known for its very small benchmarks, IoT. We'll use that for microcontroller cores. And this will be, I think, the first time I've actually spoken about Mbench 2.0. It's actually not officially released yet, but it's in final release candidate. So this is doing the regularly updated. This is the second version of Mbench IoT. So what am I going to use as my benchmarking targets? Well, the focus is RISC-V, so lots of them. We heard mention in the earlier talk I was involved with about running the Core 5 CV30E40PV2 on FPGA boards. I've used that for a lot of the data here. I've used a Hi5 Unmatched as a bigger machine. We've got a Milk5 Pioneer, which is a more modern server class RISC-V platform. I've also used one of these, Banana Pi. This has got RISC-V Vector version 1.0 on it. Okay, and I've used some QEMU because sometimes you don't have a chip, you can use QEMU to at least give you a rough insight. For ARM, this is the go-to board. That's an ST Discovery board. It's been around for years. It's cheap. We use it as the baseline reference platform for Mbench, precisely because anyone can get hold of it for a few dollars. I've also used an Apple One, and I've also used QEMU in user mode a bit. And finally, we have looked at x86 in one or two places, and for that I've used a Threadripper. It's an old Threadripper. This is about 7 years old, I think. But the focus here is not particularly on x86. If anything, it's RISC-V, and if anything, RISC-V against ARM is being closest to like to like. You may wonder, what about Drystone and Benchmark? Drystone and CoreMark? We don't use those. It doesn't meet the criterion of being a set of programs, and it's not regularly updated. Drystone actually tells you to turn off all the compiler optimizations because otherwise it goes away completely and everything runs infinitely fast. CoreMark is so well understood by the compilers, it's not meaningful anymore, and it's a synthetic benchmark. And you can see this in this graph here. This is looking at the impact of a number of RISC-V ISA extensions, the basic ones, IIM, IMC, adding in a whole load of string, a bitmanip ones, which are the ones on the MILC 5, and then some of the Core 5 special extensions, the multiply accumulate and the extended memory addressing instructions. And you can see with MBench, rich set of programs, you can see variability across all of them. But actually, CoreMark and Drystone are so tied into the baseline, you can't